Good morning. It is so good to see y'all here. My name is T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here, and I am excited to be continuing our Matthew series on that we're calling Reality Check. So if you'll turn in your Bibles or on your app to Matthew chapter 12, that's where we're going to be today. If you don't have a Bible, we have some in the back, and if you don't have one at home, you don't have access to one, take it home with you, please. It's our gift to you. Everybody should have access to the Word of God. So far, Jesus has shown that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And when the Pharisees start plotting to kill him, he shows that he's a gentle Messiah sent by God in accordance to the prophecy in Isaiah. And this is what happens next. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him. So the man spoke and saw, and the people were amazed, and they said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Jesus has expressed that He's come to heal bruised reeds. He's come to restore burning wicks. And at this time, the people bring a demon-oppressed man who's blind and he's mute. And we are simply told that Jesus healed him and he saw and he spoke. And the people saw this and they were amazed. And they begin to say, "Oh, this Jesus, he's got to be the son of David. He's got to be our Messiah. Our Christ. This is the guy that the scriptures have prophesied about, that we've been waiting for." And it feels like we're glossing over the big deal of him freeing this guy from a demon oppression. But that's not the point of the story. Oddly enough, that's not the point of this story. It's not about the healing, it's about the Pharisees interjecting. That becomes the big point of this account. When the Pharisees say, Pharisees hear people saying that Jesus is the Christ, they say, "No, he casts out demons by the power of the prince of demons, the fallen one." And this logic may sound ridiculous to you. And it is. The fact that Jesus is casting out demons by the power of Satan is completely illogical. There's an important point that you need to consider here. People don't base their rejection of Jesus or their acceptance of Jesus on logic. They don't do it on logical arguments. Sometimes we think if we can just put together the best logical argument, another logical argument, or have a piece of evidence that we're working with that's going to cause people to fall down and worship God. And I'm all for apologetic studies. But Jesus just healed a man who was blind and mute. He just healed a guy who had a withered hand, and the response he gets is, "This is Satan's power." Logic has nothing to do with it. Jesus is going to show that is a ridiculous point of view. And he shows what's really in the hearts of these religious leaders. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. How can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house." When I was a kid, we grew some fruits just for us, some fruits, but there was some peaches that a family friend of ours had some peaches. And peaches are my favorite fruit. And so we would go and we'd pick some peaches, and you do your best to pick the right ones. Because when you bite into a good, clean peach, it tastes really good. Really good. And it makes good cobbler, and it makes good stuff to put on top of your ice cream. Good peaches are good peaches. You ever taken a bite into a peach that wasn't good? Got a little bit of rot in there already. You couldn't tell. You squish, you bite into it, and it's got a little more mush than you're expecting. It makes me feel gross just thinking about it. Jesus is making the point. Your fruit says something. Your fruit says something. He's doing work that is clearly against Satan. He can't be doing his work by Satan's power, because then Satan's kingdom would be divided. A divided kingdom cannot stand, can't fight against itself. Probably a good reminder for our nation and our culture today, actually. A house or a city or a nation can't fight against itself and still stand. But Jesus is making the point that fruit says something. Fruit makes a statement. We have the same type of saying in our culture. We say, actions speak louder than words. It's the same comment, the same statement. Now I want you to notice what his actions proclaim. What Jesus' actions proclaim. He is casting out demons, which means, he says, that means the kingdom of God is upon you. And Jesus says, let me show you how this is true. You can't plunder a strong man's house unless you bind the strong man. Jesus is saying, if I'm casting out demons, in essence, plundering Satan's house, then I've bound Satan. Bound Satan. And Jesus says that is the arrival of the kingdom. That is the power blow to Satan. This is important because we've seen that Jesus can in fact heal anybody. He can cast out any demon. The New Testament explains it in multiple ways. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook in the same things, that even though that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death are subject to lifelong slavery. Or how about this one? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to hear this message from Jesus. We all need to hear this message from Jesus. Jesus has come, he's bound Satan, and he's plundered his house. The kingdom of God has come. With Jesus on our side, and we have no need to fear the power of sin. We have no need to fear the power of Satan. Jesus has appeared with the intent to destroy the works of the devil. He's destroyed the power of death. He's destroyed the fear of death. Jesus has come, and he gives us victory over sin, over death, through his resurrection. You see the point Jesus is making? Fruit says something. Fruit says something. Jesus casting out demons says something. Jesus hearing people, healing people, says something. The fruit that Jesus has is victorious over Satan and his power. And we share in that victory when we are baptized into him. then Jesus makes a teaching point. Whoever's not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. Jesus is giving a warning. First, he makes a simple statement. Whoever's not with Jesus is against Jesus. Either you're working with Jesus or you're working against Jesus. There's no neutral ground. There's no sitting on the fence. There's no in between. You're either with Jesus, working for Jesus, or you're against Jesus and working against Jesus. And it leads to the next point. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, people. The blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the next. Now, this scripture scared a lot of people. This scripture has scared a lot of people. And there's a regular question among new believers, old believers, and by old I mean people who've been a believer for a while. What does this mean? The question is, have I committed the unforgivable sin? What is this unforgivable sin? How do you sin against the Spirit so that I could never be forgiven? What does that mean? To answer that, we got to look back at the context, right? Context matters. What just happened? Here's the good news. Jesus has come to forgive sin. Jesus has come to forgive sin, and he could even forgive the sin of speaking against him. Jesus said he came to forgive every sin, every blasphemy. Let those words sink in. To forgive every word, every blasphemy, and every sin. Jesus will forgive every sin. He's come to forgive every sin. There are no loopholes. He's done the work. He's conquered Satan. He's bound him up. He's exerted his power so that you can no longer live in fear but have forgiveness. So when can't sins be forgiven? When you have a heart so closed off that you attribute the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, to a demon or to Satan. That's the answer. The explanation that the Pharisees gave is the statement. I noted, we've talked about it, I've said it a bunch already. I got to say it like 4 more times for you to remember. That's the rule, right? Fruit says something. And the Pharisees' fruit said that they had an unrepentant heart. Their fruit revealed that they were so closed-minded, so closed off to the work of God, that they couldn't be forgiven. Now, if you're asking if you have committed the unforgivable sin, my answer is that you have not. If you're asking the question, then you have not. Because that shows that you have a heart that cares for God and you have a heart for his teachings. It's when we no longer care what God has to say. It's when we no longer care about God's work that our fruit is saying something different. So the Pharisees, they're committing the unforgivable sin. They have a heart that is closed off. They don't listen. They have a heart so closed off, they don't even see what Jesus is actually doing. They're not considering it. They're attributing his works to Satan. They don't see him as the Son of David. The work of the Spirit is to restore and renew and redeem and replenish and return the people to God. And they're seeing all those good things happen and they're saying, ooh, that's evil. Ooh, that's the devil. And you might wonder, who could even do that today? Who could do that today? A lot of people do. A lot of people take the good works of God and the good laws of God and they proclaim them to be evil. The Bible says, do this. That's not true. That must be evil. That's the same thing. Our culture is moving more and more that way. Their eyes are, and their hearts are closed to seeing God's work and to see His good work and His good laws. But we're not here to talk about and analyze the world today, all right? We're here to make sure it's not true about us. Because I can't change the world. But I can give you the tools to change, and I can try to change myself. I want to note, I want to see how Jesus returns to the point. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit, you brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Jesus returns to that important truth. Fruit says something. That's five times, all right? I get two more. Make the tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make the tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, and you will know what kind of tree it is by the fruit. The fruit makes a statement. Wherever your heart is, that's what's coming out of your mouth. The mouth pours out what is in your heart. Good fruit will come from treasures in your heart. Bad fruit will come from rot in your heart. Our words reveal our heart. That's what he says in the next two verses. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. We are going to give an account for every word we have ever said. How does that make you feel? Nervous. Some of y'all thought of some words you said this morning. Your words, our words, my words will either justify or condemn us. Why? Because our words reveal our heart. The mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person from his good treasure brings forth good, and an evil person from his evil treasure will bring forth evil. Words are the fruit coming from the treasure. That's why the Pharisees are doomed. They're saying Jesus' works are from Satan. These words reveal our heart. Speaking words against God, against what God is doing, against God's laws, shows an evil heart. Some next level darkness right there. Our fruit says something. Our words reveal what's inside of us. And our goal, I need you to hear me. Our goal should not be just to clean up the words we use. It should clean your heart. And your words will follow. If you have angry words, you have a heart problem that needs to be worked on. If you have malicious words, you have a heart problem that needs to be addressed. If you have words that reveal you have a lack of self-control or gentleness or peacefulness or joy or love, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. See what I did there? Those are the fruits of the Spirit, in case you missed it. Fruit matters. Our words are the fruit that show if we have these characteristics of the Spirit in our heart. And these are definitely important. This is an important piece, but there's a particular characteristic that Jesus is focusing on with these Pharisees. What should the Pharisees have done when they saw Jesus healing the withered hand? When they saw Jesus cast a demon out of the demon-oppressed man? What should they have done when Jesus said he has bound Satan and plundered his house? What should their response have been? Thanksgiving and glory to God. Thanksgiving and glory to God. And that's the crux of their problem. They're talking, they were taking the good that was being done and attributing it to something else, anything else but Jesus. They didn't take the good that God was doing in front of them and attribute it to God. It was happening right in front of them. And they didn't attribute it to God. They didn't give thanks. They didn't show him glory. In a life that doesn't see God for the good that happens in it reveals the heart. Heart that takes blessings and things that God's doing and not necessarily attributes them to the devil, but attributes them to ourselves. That also shows your heart. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So here's your reality check for the week. What does your fruit say about your heart? What comes out of your mouth? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? I need you to be thankful to God for your family, as broken, as messed up as they may be. I need you to thank God for the place that you live. He's providing for you. Be thankful for your church family, even though they're made up of flawed people just like you. Be thankful to God for your wealth, as little as it may be. God's given you what you need. Be thankful to God for all the small things in your life. Because they are God's blessing to you. Be thankful to God that hope is in Jesus. And that He can restore your life. He can put you on the path to eternity. So reality check. Fruit says something. What does your fruit say? What are you showing your heart to be full of? It is not too late for good fruit.